To record the meeting. So I think we are going, yes, we're going now on our recording. So today, instead of introductions, since we have a lot of people, we'll go ahead and ask you to type your name, your facility, and the organization that you work with into the chat box so we can have a list of those who are here. It's really great to see so many faces, and let's see, I'm going to look here. 25 participants we have signed in, and I see that there are many of you at several of the locations. So it's really great to be back together with you all again. So after we get started, we're going to do an overview of the DMAIC and how the tools link, and that'll be about 10 minutes. Then we'll have a stop. We'll have a chance for some questions. We have a couple polling questions today, and then we'll go into the case presentation. And I think you will really enjoy that case presentation. And then we'll have plenty of time for questions and answers. So the G in Pager is for ground rules. We certainly want to begin and end on time and be respectful of your time. We want to be respectful of anything that's shared as people are sharing their thoughts or ideas. We'll be very respectful of all that. We're on a new system. We're on Zoom. We're not meeting face to face. So we're going to encourage the engagement and participation. We'll all have to learn new things and new ways as we move forward with Zoom. So we're going to give you opportunities to type things into the chat box. We're going to give you polls. And we're going to have question and answer time. So we really look forward to make this interactive and engaging. And then we ask you to keep your audio on mute unless you're speaking. And there are several ways that you can signify that you'd like to ask a question. You can put a question in the chat box. You can physically raise your hand. Or there's a raise hand feature on the Zoom. And I'm sure you all have been doing as many Zoom meetings as I have, so you're probably very familiar with all those features. But if not, typing a question into the chat box will certainly get our attention. So again,
Barbara, just in case that, yeah, because we have a lot of people, I only have one screen. In case I don't see people raising their hand or miss something in the chat box, would you allow people to just unmute themselves and ask a question?
Oh, sure, sure.
Great, thank you.
We'll have specific stop points for question and answer. So we'll definitely do that. And then the R for Pager is our roles. So if everyone's ready, show me some energy this morning, this afternoon. Let's get started. I see some thumbs up. That's great. Oh, I see hands waving. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, let's get started this morning, this afternoon. So we're going to present a case today, and we're going to show how connecting all of the tools leads to improvement. The tools are not just something random that we have you do to keep you busy. They really all connect together to help you get to improvement. So a couple guiding principles we're going to talk about. All the QI tools have linkages. And DMAIC is still the approach for problem solving, for any problem solving. So I want you to look for this little linkage icon. We're going to see it a lot today. But we're going to try to really demonstrate to you how that one tool links to the next and how they all connect with each other. So you've seen the DMAIC many times, but usually it's across the top of the slide. This one is showing that the outputs from define go into the inputs from measure. You've noticed that the way the arrows go, they say that each one links to the next. So I want to sort of show a different DMAIC approach here. And then these would be the outputs that we would get from each of the stages in the DMAIC process and how they feed into that next phase. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about define first. So we're going to start off right away being interactive. I want you to type into the chat box What are some of the tools we use during the define phase? Type in some of the tools. And I'm going to see if I can see the chat box. All right, so some tools that we use in the define phase. All right, stakeholder analysis, yay, Fajani. So I'm gonna give you all some time. We have a little bit of time today for this to be an interactive session. I don't have candy to throw, but I this is virtual candy, Fajani. Process mapping, Taku, excellent. Tools we have used to define the problem. We really want to understand the problem. What kind of tools can we use? All right, voice of customer liberty, virtual candy. All right, awesome. Fishbone analysis. Edson, I love fishbone analysis. It comes a little bit later. But love fishbone analysis. Nicholas, impact effort grid. Love impact effort grid. It comes a little bit later. Okay. Thanks for chiming in, guys, though. It's getting exciting. We're getting our juices flowing here. So tools in the define phase. I'm going to have to move my chat box. Okay. So tools in the define phase. Process mapping, we got. Stakeholder analysis, the three questions. And I'm going to have to move the down to the bottom of my screen. All right. So stakeholder analysis, elevator speech, many of the things that we are using. So in the define phase, the output or the outcome of the define phase.
So Barbara, someone say CTQ.
Critical to quality. Not in this phase, but definitely a great tool.
So but could you also expand a little bit more on three questions? People don't typically think because we called it another name, you know.
So in the model for improvement, we started off with three questions, and then we went to the PDSA. So that's actually in the improve phase, but I like to put the three questions part in the define phase because it's really important to ask those three questions. What do we want to accomplish? How will we know if we've reached an improvement and what changes will we make? Does anyone have a question? Okay, so maybe if you don't have a question, we can mute all the speakers for now. Okay, so the output of the define phase is to fully understand or define our problem, and we'll get a problem statement. All right, so then how about the measure phase? What tools do we use in the measure phase? If you can type those in, and perhaps we'll have a time when you can open up your mic for questions, but at this moment, could everyone just double check that they're muted, that their mic is muted? So we're typing in tools that we use in the measure phase.
So can the person Ann Kulumani mute your mic, please?
Run chart, woohoo! I like it. I still hear myself, so we're going to stop a moment and
Barbara, you can mute everybody. I cannot.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing the Hollywood Squares because I
go to participant list. You can mute people. I cannot because I'm not a host.
Okay.
So Levi, I see your mic is unmuted. Please mute your mic, please.
Okay, I think we have covered that now. So thanks for your patience, everyone, as we're all learning about this. Okay, so we got run chart, that's awesome. So let's look at the tools that we can use in the measure phase. So those tools are really about the data collection, a plan, a data collection tool, and of course the run charts. And what's the output of the measure phase? So the output of the measure phase is we're going to have a baseline measure and we're also going to support our aim statement. So putting together what we're trying to accomplish, which we ask in the define phase, and what we're measuring, we can come up with our aim statement, which is we're going to do what by when. So again, linkage, we need to understand that problem statement to develop a metric that's going to help us to see if we've solved that problem. So now we've got the analyze phase. Now this one should be a easy one to tell me what tools you can use in the analyze phase. I've already seen a couple of ones that we can use in the analyze phase. So if you can just type in the chat box what tools we used in the analyze phase. The analyze phase, we really want to understand the problem better. Okay, so spaghetti diagram, yes, that is definitely right. Johnny, more virtual candy coming your way. Fishbone, yes, 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 very good. All right, so thank you all for participating this morning. So we can use the fishbone, the Pareto, the five whys. So there's several tools that we can use to understand. And the output of the analyze phase is, of course, the root cause. Now, here's the polling chance. So I want you to get ready for your polling question. Your polling question relates to the fishbone diagram. So if you have a fishbone diagram, what do you put at the mouth of the fish? So I'm going to launch the poll, and you're going to be able, so can everyone see the poll now? So you've got a choice here. What do you place at the head of the fish if you're using the fishbone for root cause analysis? So go ahead and start putting your answers in. So 7 out of 31 people have voted. So keep voting. Nice work. Okay, here we go. So half the people have voted now, 15. Out of 32 have voted. 18, 19, nice work, nice work. Okay, we're seeing the voting. Okay, so what goes at that head of the fish if you're using a fishbone diagram? What is a fishbone? Root cause, problem statement, clinic name. Those are the options. So we've got 23 out of 33 voted, 24 now. I think we're getting close here. All right. Shall we end the poll? give you one more second to get your vote in. All right, so 25 people have voted, so let's end our poll. And I'm going to share the results with you. So here are the results. 22 of you, or 88%, said the problem statement. 2 people, 8%, said the root cause, and 1 person, 4%, said, what is a fishbone? So let's look for the answer now. So I'll stop sharing that poll. Thanks for participating. And we'll close that out for now. And when we go to the next slide, what goes at the head of the fish in the fishbone? Problem statement. So most of you all got that right. The problem statement goes at the head of the fish. So we've saw several fishbones when we looked through your presentations, and some of them did not have the problem statement at the head of the fish. So that's something that you can definitely go back and fix. And then there are the categories of things that to help you think about what are the root causes. And this is one way of looking at them, putting them into 6 M's. Now, Katie pointed out to me that Mother Nature and environment, really, we mean what's happening in the organization, the culture. It's bigger than Mother Nature, but that was an attempt to make it an M. So For that person who asked what is a fishbone, it's also called an Ishikawa diagram, and it helps us understand, think about all the possible causes that could be leading to our problem at the head of the fish. I put this in here as an example just to remind you why we call it a fishbone. Some people think it looks like a fish and then the bones are the arrows. I also put this in here. It's an example of a project that we did. And we focused on the purple square there, that there was no standardized system for follow-up. But it didn't mean that we ignored the other causes that we found also, because we also found lack of knowledge and many different specialties were involved in this particular issue. So we had a grand rounds that provided knowledge to many different specialties. We didn't have guidelines, so we developed guidelines. So you focus and work on the root cause, but you don't ignore the other causes that come up in an example. And we'll get to one with the case in a minute. So the output from the analyze phase is the root cause. Now, how about improve? Name me some tools that we can use in the improve phase. Candy. Someone texting candy. I wished I could be there and we could do candy. All right, so now type in some tools that you can use in the improve phase. PDSA, Liberty. Thank you, Liberty. That's a very big one. Brainstorming. Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right, can we have one more? Impact effort. Awesome, awesome. You guys are doing awesome this afternoon. So the tools, we can use brainstorming, where we gather some ideas, the impact effort grid, where we prioritize the ideas. Lean, very big one to reduce waste in your system. PDSA standard work. And the output of the improve phase is really that we will create that change. You can call it a change, you can call it an intervention, you can call it a solution. But that is when we work through and develop the best solution or change to the project. And then the next phase, so the root cause is an important part when you think about creating your change or your intervention. And this is just to remind you that all of these tools, you really need to be focusing on the root cause or root causes when you are developing your solution. So I think the case that we'll present will really demonstrate that very well, how they really looked at those root causes and use them to move forward any solutions or changes. And then the control phase. The control phase, we take the output from the improve phase, which is that solution, but we say, how are we going to sustain it? So we haven't covered that yet. We'll cover that in our next learning session, but the tools that we'll use, there's a control plan. We pass it, transfer it to the process owner, and we communicate, and we can even spread that in the control phase. Once we have a great solution or change, then we want to make sure that we can sustain it. So the outputs that we develop from each one of these phases feeds as an input into the next phase and connects all those tools. So, to summarize, all the tools link. DMAIC is the approach that we can use to solve any problem. We need to understand a problem. We need to measure it. How big is it? We need to understand the causes of the problem and make sure we're addressing that when we develop our change or our improvement. And then we'll want to develop a sustainable plan for going forward. So at this point, I'm going to stop and see if there are any questions. And you can, again, raise your hand. You can type into the chat box. A kind of a broad overview, hopefully demonstrating this real tight linkage between the outputs of each phase and the inputs to the next phase. Oh, someone added 5S for an improved tool. That's awesome. And that's something you guys are working on right now, I'm guessing. And then the spaghetti diagram is part of the analyze phase. So thanks, guys, for typing those in. Questions? So they say we're supposed to wait 7 seconds before we move on.
Perhaps I can ask again if the identifier in the participant's field, that, for example, it's like please put your first name and last name there so that it's easier to identify. S. Gumbo, maybe you can spell out your entire name. That'll be much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. All right, so we don't hear any questions. We're going to move on to our case presentation. And this is in the magical, mythical land of Wakanda, the Wakanda Clinic. And we're going to, they focused on viral load results interpretation and patient management. That's the part of the cascade that they focused on. So let's share the case. We have de-identified the case, but this would have been their presentation with their team. And this would have been their facility information. And Katie, maybe you want to comment about this facility information. I know you really took a look at these numbers. Is there anything you'd like to comment on?
This is a mission-based facility. They serve a large catchment area. It's one of the slum in the city.
And I think you also wanted people to pay particular attention to their numbers to make sure that they make sense. The people who are eligible for viral load, just kind of making sure those numbers are consistent and make sense.
Right, so for example, the number of viral samples collected per month, it has to be consistent with your like the people on ART, right? So it has to be make logical sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. And then the stakeholder analysis. Again, I've covered up the actual stakeholders, but I wanted to show you what I think is a fabulous example of a stakeholder analysis. They went through, they listed their stakeholders, they listed what they're interested in, whether they're the impact of having them on board. So, you know, and then they also linked it. Here's one of my linkages. They linked the actual stakeholder to how they were going to communicate with them. So the number one, you know, funding stakeholder, they were going to give thorough, I think they mean thorough there, thorough presentations and narrative reports. And then some people, they're just happy to go into a portal and enter data online, right? So very nice example of understanding who your stakeholders are, what they're interested in, and linking that to how you're going to communicate with them, how often you're going to communicate with them. So I thought that was very well done. So the story of our project, they put some pictures here and we've de-identified them. And then they decided at the very beginning to share with us a little bit of before and after. And I won't go into the details of that, but I do want to highlight to you that the after is a change in the process. You are not going to be able to do one small piece of something and have a lasting, impactful change. You're going to have to focus on your process before and changing your process now. It's sustainability that we're looking for. So your intervention would always be a process change. And then they outline it here. So they would give a little overview of their project. Now, this is a very important slide, and it's very important because it shares with us the answers to those three questions, and that's part of the model for improvement if you want to look at that in your workbook. But the three questions are, what are we trying to accomplish? How will we know if a change is an improvement? And what change will we make that will result in an improvement? So those three things have to show a linkage. So the overarching goal, patients with high viral load attending EAC timely. That's what they wanted to accomplish. That has to be linked with the aim statement. The aim statement says they're going to decrease the percentage of patients with high viral load not attending EAC, and they define timely within 30 days of receiving their results. And here's where their baseline comes in and their aim, their goal that they want to get to. These two need to be linked. And when Katie and I reviewed many of your PowerPoint presentations, these were not linked. There was not a connection between what you were trying to accomplish and the aim statement. I think that may have been some confusion about putting maybe more than one aim on the same slide. So just go ahead and separate those out. If it's aim one that you're working on, getting the results in the green book, put a project summary slide for that. If it's aim two, getting patients to come back for their appointments, put that on a separate slide. I think that might have caused some confusion, but make a linkage between the overarching goal or what you're trying to accomplish and the aim statement. And then we also need to see a direct linkage to the metric. So here's the aim statement, decrease percentage of patients with high viral load. So we already know that's exactly what our denominator is going to be, is the patients with high viral load. And then not attending EAC within 30 days. So that is our numerator. That's very clear linkage. They match up and the numbers match up. So that is a very important linkage. And then the next linkage is, and remember I said, process change is what your intervention is 99.999% of the time going to be. And this process change, it all needs to link. If you're trying to, patients with high viral load attending EAC, then they restructured their process of notifying patients so they would get back to the clinic. So those all three link together, and there's coherence between that slide. So very important. Then the elevator speech. The elevator speech needs to link directly back to that aim statement. This is just a way of sharing your aim statement and what you're trying to accomplish with folks you meet. So this project is about, there's your overarching goal right there. It's getting people back for a timely attendance. And then success will be measured by, there's your metric right there. That's straight from the previous slide, percent of patients with high viral load. So again, make sure that that is linked. And then what we need from you, it's always nice to put there, and I put this comment in several of your presentations, who are you addressing this to? And they decided to address this to other clinics within their same facility, and they wanted to cascade their learning from QI to other clinics within the same facility. So it's helpful to know who you're trying to address when you do your elevator speech. Oh, was there a question? Okay. So process mapping, here's their process map that they did on the wall. They put it into a nice table. And they highlighted the steps when they were walking through this process that they identified. Opportunities for improvement. If you're optimistic, you call them opportunities for improvement, but they're problem areas. All right, we probably need someone to go ahead and mute their mic. Let me see.
Barbara, I think you can mute everyone and then unmute yourself. So
mute all. There we go. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, all right, very good. Yeah, thank you, Katie. Always learning. So when they did their process map, they identified some particular steps that they deemed problematic, and they identified some specific opportunities that they thought that needed to be addressed. So here was when the result comes into the clinic. And they identified that there wasn't a designated person. They identified that that was a problem area. So they highlighted it, they circled it in red. And then also, look for this particular issue to be linked when we get to the fishbone, okay? So they found a problem, the define phase, your understanding, finding the problem. And then they also found a problem in notifying the high viral load clients. And they identified some opportunities for improvement there. They had something called a TCA to come back from appointment. And so they shortened that time to 30 days. So these opportunities that you identify during the process mapping are very important, and we're going to see how they link to the rest of the tools. So keep those in mind. So here's your problem statement. Very clear problem statement, and it relates to everything that we've heard so far in the presentation. Clients with high viral load are not attending EAC timely within 30 days. There's your problem statement. Now, the problem statement is going to be very key in the voice of the customer and in the root cause analysis, and they use the fishbone. So there's going to be some linkages here between the problem statement, the voice of the customer, and the fishbone. So watch for those. Now, I have a polling question for you, okay? Here is your problem statement. When you're designing your voice of customer survey, you may ask several things, but what is the most important question you have? What is the most important thing that you want to know? So problem statement, get that well in your mind. Here's the polling question. Okay, we're launching the poll. What do you want to know from the voice of the customer given this problem statement? So there are multiple choices here, but choose the best answer. There may be many things that you ask about, but what is key to ask about when this is your problem statement? Okay, four people, five people. So go ahead and put your answers in.
So you're saying we can choose more than one option?
No, just choose one option. Choose one best answer. What is most important, would you most importantly like to know given this particular problem statement? Because we're talking about how we link our problem statement with our voice of customer. All right, so we've got 26 people who have 27 now, 28. Oh, we're getting there. Okay, we'll give it one more second here and then we'll close the poll. So we've got 28 of 39 people who voted. Awesome. So we're going to end our poll and I'll share with you the results. Okay. 3%, one person said you wanted the patient client's demographic data. Two people said friendliness of staff. 28 people said you wanted to know the top barriers to patients or clients attending EAC. And 1%, you wanted to know whether to contact the patient client by SMS or phone call. So I submit to you that all of these answers are things you may want to know. But I submit to you that I agree with the 97% of you that said the top barriers to patients or clients attending EAC. So here's a beautiful linkage. The clients are not coming back within 30 days. What barriers are causing that? So thanks for participating in our poll.
See? People want candies again.
Even with Zoom, we can have fun, but we have the virtual candy. But then we'll gain virtual pounds, so that could be good, right? All right. So let's look for the linkage as we move on to this voice of customer. So the most important question that I always ask about the voice of customer survey is, what did you learn? And how is that going to link to the intervention? How is that going to link to your change? So that is an important question. So here we go. Here's the voice of the customer that they did. It's small, and I don't intend for you to read it all, but basically they ask, how are our services? So that really they're trying to understand, you know, how are our services? Why are you not coming back for your EAC? And then they ask which service point is taking too long. And then they ask, what department, specific department, would you like us to improve on? Now, they also ask some other questions. Do you know the importance of viral load? And they ask, what time of day would you like to have your viral load sample drawn? So important questions, but they really did get at the heart of, why are people not coming back for EAC? And so what did they learn? They said patients were not coming to clinic appointments because they felt like the time spent in the clinic was too long. And they identified the pharmacy as the service point needing most improvement. So they now have some information. Voice of customer has spoken. And will we be able to link that now to our intervention and to our root cause analysis? We need to have these all linked. So next, they presented their metric and their measure, and we've already talked about that. Their baseline was 47%. So half of their people were not attending EAC within 30 days. So that's pretty significant magnitude of the problem. Here's what we want to understand. How big is our problem? So they were able to understand that. And then let's move on to this fishbone diagram. The first linkage you're going to see is, where's the problem statement? It's right at the head of the fish. And then as we start to dig down, there are a lot of words on this slide, but they identified process issues, they identified policy and procedure issues, and they identified people issues as their top areas of focus. So let's think about this linkage. Again, it was a process problem. And where did they pick up these problems to put them in this fishbone diagram? Well, the prescribing TCAs, that's the to come back appointment. Anybody remember where that was picked up? Where did they identify that was a problem? This, you would get two candies for this one. Can someone type in? Or you can open your mic. But where did we pick up on this idea that prescribing TCAs for greater than 30 days for viral load clients was part of the problem? Does anybody remember where that was picked up on? This is a hard question. From the voice of the customer, I think there were some issues obviously identified in voice of the customer, but I really think they picked up on this in the process mapping. I think they circled it in red on the process mapping.
Yes, Barbara, I think, I don't know who this is, but someone just type in process mapping, J. Samu Shonga. See, if you don't type in your first name, I can only read out this gobbledygook, you know?
It might be Samuel. It might be Samuel. He's a...
Jackie. Okay. It's from Jackie.
Okay. Awesome. That was picked up in the process mapping. So in the define phase, we already started identifying things that are now linked, putting into this. So we identified a delay in notifying clients with high viral load. That was also identified in our process mapping. Results not shared with departments consistently. That was something that they also picked up on. Inefficient clinic and pharmacy visits. Where was that one picked up on? You don't have to think back very far. Where did we pick up that the clinic visits were inefficient and pharmacy was the service point that needed the most attention from the voice of customer? Yes, perfect. So see how that everything we've learned thus far comes into this fishbone diagram. We also have a linkage with that we picked up in the process mapping that the clinicians were unaware of the dispensing guidelines for viral load clients. So a lot of linkages there. And then this team went on to do the five whys, and they specifically drilled down on some of the process things. And you'll see they picked up on things that there was no focal person, no SOP, there were not standardized, there were no guidelines, and the guidelines weren't followed. Clinicians weren't sensitized, no SOP. So they really use this process to identify some of the issues. They use their impact effort grid. After they had done some brainstorming, they decided to focus on following up patients with high viral load. They did 5S so they could focus on helping get their results in better order so they could get their patients back for clinic appointments. And then this is just the audit score. They use the audit tool to do a before and after, showing an improvement in that. They also use
Barbara, I have a question.
Yep.
The audit. So was that done for that cabinet or was that done for the entire clinic?
I think it was done for the area, but I can't say 100% because I didn't actually go to this clinic. But
But what's the intent of that tool? Do you use that for the whole clinic or do you use that for one area?
You use it for the one area that you're going to improve. And the intent of this is measurement, right? We have a picture, that's evidence too, but we also want to be able to show numerically how we've improved something. So it's, and then of course, once you get in the habit of auditing, that's how you maintain the 5S is ongoing auditing. So the tool can also be helpful for that. Whoops. Okay. So then they did some visual management. They did some visual management around their samples, which samples have been processed, which ones haven't. They did some visual management about where they kept things in their storeroom and visual management about where they kept medications in the refrigerator. Now, let's think back to our fishbone and let's see if they really linked their PDSAs or their interventions back to what they discovered as causes. So here's the first PDSA they did. The team lead would sensitize clinicians on shortening the TCA to 30 days. Was that identified in the process map? Yes, it was. They identified it as a people problem and as a process problem, that they were prescribing more than 30 days. So that was identified in the fishbone, and here it links beautifully with the PDSA. They decided this is the first PDSA they're going to try. They make a prediction in that plan phase. They predict that they will be able to decrease the percentage of missed appointments. They do. They carry out the plan, and then when they get over to the study phase, they look and see, yes, they did have a reduction in the month of September. So they're going to decide that they're going to adopt this. It's working well for them, and they they had a decrease. So that's PDSA 1, again, linked directly to what they discovered in the process mapping in this case, and then they put it in their root cause analysis. Now, cycle 2 is in October, and let's see if there's a linkage to what they had put in their fishbone. They wanted to work on adherence nurse notifying patients on the same day upon receiving the viral load results. Now, did we identify that? We identified a delay in notifying clients with high viral loads. So yes, that was something that we identified. So then we're using that to directly drive our PDSA. So again, we make a prediction. We're going to decrease the number of missed appointments. This happens. Uh-oh, what happened? We went from 9% to 11%. We're trying to decrease, okay? So we made a prediction in the plan phase that we were going to decrease. Instead, we went up. So then they have to start digging around what really happened. And they realized that maybe they were not encouraging people to come back to the clinic with their calling messaging. So they adapted it. They say, we're going to try a script and we're going to add physical tracing in. So they learn through this PDSA and they're going to adapt and they're going to add something in their next phase. So yes, that's something they had identified. And then here in November, notice what happens. There are two PDSAs going on in November. And the advantage of that is that they're occurring in different places and they can carry them out simultaneously to try to get to their goal. They're very result-oriented. So here we see the linkage back to the previous, to PDSA cycle number two. They said they're going to make a script for the nurses to use. So they are using a script and they predict that they're going to decrease. And what happens? 11% to 4%. So they did have a decrease. It worked. So they're going to adopt it. And then what else did they say in PDSA 2? They said they're going to try contact tracing. So they linked that back to the PDSA cycle 2. They focused on contact tracing, and the two things together in November, they got to 4%. So they also added some parts, new things to the part of the new process. They appointed a focal person and they created SOPs. And sure enough, if we look back, they didn't have a timely result entry, so they were able to identify that and use it as to make an intervention. And then they also identified no SOPs. And so they linked that to what they actually did in their new process. They appointed a focal person, and of course that involves job description, training, and competency, and then the SOPs also would involve some training and competency. They also identified that results were not shared within departments consistently. So when they updated their process, they focused on that stage of right when the results came in to the clinic. They focused on what they could do to let everyone know in the clinic and share results consistently and be prepared for the patient. They got a focal person, and then they have a new client notification process, all linked to what they discovered, what they identified and put in their fishbone, and what they used to improve their process. Now, this is a beautiful example, and I'm shout out to Katie here for being able to put the improved process and the before process on the same sheet, and also the new client notification process, and she created this beautiful process map. So very nicely done, and clearly shows us the old process and the new process. And again, just a reminder that all these things were picked up, focused on when we did our root cause analysis. So lots of linkages. I'm showing you their actual picture of their results because I think it's fabulous that they really track this over time in their own clinic. They track it and keep the record of it and create this run chart. It didn't have to be fancy. It didn't have to be an Excel spreadsheet or a PowerPoint presentation. They really were tracking it and watching it, keeping their eye on it, keeping your eye on the results. So great example there. They created their run chart, and Katie updated it by putting in really the the actual numbers below the run chart. And Katie, I think if you want to make comments about run charts and data, you really dug into that. And if there's a lot of comments that Katie put in about your data and having the numbers consistent and doing the math correctly. So Katie, if you want to make a few comments about that.
I really have no comment particularly, but are you going to discuss the question of the before the baseline, I mean this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the 8 data points before we start the improvement?
I wasn't, but I think that's a good point. So if you want to go ahead and share what was going on.
Sure. So this clinic, they have good data. They were already collecting good data before we went in, you know. So when they collected data, baseline data, they actually went back 8 months. I think it is a monthly, yes. And but there's only one number in their aim statement. So that number, the baseline number, is an average of all these 8 data points. Now, it's a good practice. I mean, you have one number, but if you plot out individual data points, it will tell you a lot. So I don't know if you look at this run chart, particularly left side of the red line when Locke came in and they started improvement, you will see that there's a downward trend already, right? So I had to go back to the data manager and ask some probing questions. So my question to him was, well, you're already improving. So did Locke really help your clinic? So wouldn't you have that same question? So this is his answer. He said, yes, we were trying to, everything we could think of, trying to improve our the clients showing up for EAC within 30 days. But it was we did improve something, right? As you can see from the downward trend. But that was all individual effort. And we were not really tracking using a run chart. So we did not know that we were doing something that was going well or effectively. Until Lark came in, we started plotting it. We started working as a team, so that as you see that we exceeded our target. So I think that's a great and beautiful story. Over.
So I also think that is a great and beautiful story, and I think the other thing I want to highlight is, a lot of times we are working very hard, individual effort, working, working, working. But when we come together as a team, when we are seeing our data, when we're focusing on here is what we're trying to accomplish, then I think we can accomplish more. And so it's not about working harder, or it's about working together and smarter.
And you know, earlier, before Lark came in, and they were doing some great intervention, but because they were not looking at their data, plotting their data, tracking their data, they gave up, you know. And also they were not working as a team, so the individual effort, they gave up because they have no idea which intervention worked well or not. Over.
So this is the biggest linkage that I like to make, is that they actually met their aim and made an improvement. So I think sometimes perhaps we presented a lot of tools and you felt lost in the weeds, or the forest. But really the goal and the linkage is to get your results to your aim statement. So aim number one, I think it was 95% of the results we wanted to have in the green book. Many of you had not yet reached that goal. So that is, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we really want to see. We want those results in the green book because we want to manage the patients better, because we want to have their viral load suppressed, because we want them to have better health, and because we want to be able to have better data. So in the end of the day, all these tools do link, but in the end of the day, we want to be able to show some improvement in the linkage. I also want to, go ahead, Katie.
Yes, could you go back to the run chart? Yes, thank you, Barbara. So I want to draw your attention to that when they were doing their, when they went back to collect their data points for baseline, you look at that, they sampled 25 charts, high viral low. Now, but after, when they started doing the improvement, they actually got the real number because their high viral low patient, the number isn't that big. So if you can do the whole, I mean, all the, do not sample, just really analyze the, all the population. That would be great if the number is not overwhelming. Over. I also want to point out that Dr. Cabo just joined us and he asked a question, do we have a registration form for our participants? We don't. That's why I'm asking everybody to type in your names, organization, and the site you mentor or you worked, and so that, and then we'll save the chat and we'll have a record. But going forward, maybe we do need to think about a registration form. Over.
Okay.
And apology for the disruption. I have an online form that people can fill. I'll design it and share it on the next call.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. We also learned, I did the Project Echo immersion. We also learned that part of Project Echo, and should Zimbabwe, you know, vote to use that going forward, is really data tracking. So there is a person who is entirely dedicated to keeping track of who attends and who's presented cases, and then we track data, we track outcomes from the projects. And so Project Echo is more than just, okay, we're using a Zoom conference. We're trying to, as we move forward, you know, incorporate some things we've learning from Project Echo. But there is also very much an important piece of that is tracking.
Just one more thing about the registration form. That's before, right? So people indicate their intent to participate. But actually, we even if you implement that, we still need people to type into the chat box so we have a record that you did show up. And I see that many people are typing into the chat box now. So it's an accountability issue. So thank you so much. Keep doing what you are doing. That's great. But also, if you can go to participant and see, find your name and right-click that and then type in your full name so that we know who you are. We can call your name when you answer. So that's great. So for example, earlier there's a person whose identifier is AND. We really have no idea who you are. So you need to change into your full name by going to participants and then right click your name so you can do that. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks. The other thing that I want to kind of emphasize on as we said today, the outcome, expected outcome is that you're going to update those PowerPoints, but really updating your projects is what it means, not making a shiny PowerPoint, but really doing the work and updating the project. And as you think about interventions, think about changing your process and making it a sustainable process. You know, bringing a lot of people in to do filing, to catch up on filing, is a great idea to jumpstart your project. But that may not be sustainable going forward. So look at interventions that you feel like are going to be sustainable, that you're going to put in a new process, that you're going to take out waste, you're going to make the process efficient, you're going to make it very clear and visible what the process should be and how people can do it. So very important when you think about your interventions that they're strong and sustainable interventions and that they meet all the practices of cutting out waste, improving efficiency, and all the concepts that we've learned around lean. So I just want to share that as you're thinking about your intervention. And then here they shared their project successes, they shared some challenges and the solutions they had, and then the lessons learned. And I think the only thing I wanted to highlight here is they wanted to make it scalable to the other departments. So they were so excited about what they had done that they wanted to share it with the TB clinic and the other departments in their project. And then that is the, and then the appendices. So that's the end of the case presentation. Here's a trivia question for you. How many little red linkage icons do you think were in this PowerPoint today? You can just, you can unmute yourself, you can say, you can type in. How many little red linkage icons do you think? It's a trivia question. How many do you think? Unmute yourself. You can just guess.
Levi over here, maybe 10.
10. 10. Okay, Levi. Who else?
I will guess 25.
Oh, 25. Who else? How many little red linkage icons did you see today? 18. Okay. Dr. Musbangwa. All right. 12. Taku says 12. Okay. 15. All right. You guys are good. Good. Actually, there were 25. And that's not counting. 24. I'm sorry. Katie, you were.
I'm right.
You were the closest. Oh, now we have 23. So 24. That's not counting the ones that we just repeated, kept showing. But I hope that that gave you the idea of how these tools are not just busy work. They're really helping you build a case and how each step of the case gives the input to the next step in our DMAIC approach. So that was the goal today. And as we head back up to the to our pager, I want to focus on the expected outcome today is that these updated PowerPoint presentations, by that I mean really updating your projects, will be done. As I said, I hope that everyone has back the PowerPoint presentations that Katie and I put some comments in. You'll have to open your comments pane and look at that. And that is really the goal of today. We are so thrilled to have such a great number of participants. Looks like 41 groups have signed on. And so I'm going to stop at this time sharing. I will ask Dr. Cabo if he has anything he wants to say, Levi, Dr. Junior, Fortunate. We really want to move forward with LARC the best we can with this virtual world that we live in. So today I will stop sharing and I will ask Dr. Cabo or BITI colleagues. Katie says she didn't cheat.
So, I don't have anything on my end. I think I'll defer to Jafet if there is anything. I joined late. Our meetings with the PS, with the Permanent Secretary of Health on giving COVID updates just got moved to Wednesdays now. So, sorry I'm late. So I'll defer to Jafet and to the team from.
Well, we appreciate your dropping in. Thanks so much. It's really fabulous to see 41 people signed on today, and we're just excited.
So I just want to let everybody know that we are recording this session, and we will make that available on the LARC website. Also, the previous webinar, when Barbara was showing how do you look at our comments so you can make, you can revise and modify your PowerPoint, that That recording is already up on the LARC Zimbabwe webpage. So if you did not attend that one, I'm sure most of you did not, you should go there and take a look before you start revising your slides. Over.
And that's at larcqi.org.
Yes.
Okay. The presentation was very good. Thank you, Barbara. But I think there was a slight misunderstanding. I think there was a slight misunderstanding because we thought we were getting two facilities presenting here. So BRI, DH, and Barry were actually ready to present.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we are ready. Anytime you're ready, we can do it next week. I mean, we could do weekly because I think we'll talk about this tomorrow in our project management team. But my apologies. We would be, of course, thrilled to hear you present. So let's definitely set a date for that.
Yeah, I think the misunderstanding came in. Fortunately, is that we've been waiting for the schedule. Like, we need to schedule all the facility by dates, and we never received that. So so we didn't realize that two sites were ready. We never got that communication over.
Yeah, I think we initially proposed doing this presentation a week ago, but...
But I did send the schedule. Maybe I will just resend it because we made a schedule and then I sent to you and Barbara, but maybe I don't know what happened. I will resend the schedule which we did for the Northern Region side.
That would be great. So you have all the 15 sites scheduled?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Okay, well, fabulous. We're going to look forward to that. That'll help us move more into the ECHO model where we get case presentations and then we'll develop this community of learning where the teams can share their ideas. So that's fabulous. We look forward to that.
Okay, it's Dr. Junior coming in. Thank you so much. Some of us had missed the trainings earlier. And it really was a learning curve for a person like me. It was really quite interesting. I always see bits and pieces, but this was like a thorough job in terms of me understanding where it's all coming from. Thank you so much. And I would love to also thank all the participants and all the organizers. We have got Dr. Manjoro, we have Fortunate, and we have got Levi and Goodridge on the team. Thank you so much. We managed to put ourselves on course, and so we have all been here, and you also got this large number of participants, and I think we have to withhold this momentum because it's quite exciting. Hopefully the other participants enjoyed it as much as we did. But I just wanted to also find out from you, do you have like an evaluation that can be done after every session? I don't know how you do that. So that at least we have an idea of whether there's also some room for improvement in terms now that we are doing it online and virtual, there could be some other maybe areas for improvement that we might pick up.
So we can do it two ways. One thing, while I talk, Barbara, maybe you can just start creating this poll on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being highest, 1 being lowest, and let's just take a quick poll of everybody right now. And then another thing is that you can collect some qualitative feedback, comments, how do you find this session, where can we improve? You can gather that from your WhatsApp group.
Okay.
And actually, I just saved the chat, so we have a record of who participated. I will send that out to Fortunate so you can have a record, and you can reach out to these people and these facilities and gather their feedback. So, Barbara, whenever you are ready, then we can just give a we can take a poll of everybody. How do you feel about this session?
Yes, thank you. And maybe also on our part, we are operating from different settings, geographical settings, to see whether there were any issues to do with audio or anything, so that at least we'll be able to also improve in, maybe you might not be able to use your hardware that effectively, so that at least we can also continuously improve the settings that where we'll be listening from. Then the other thing that really fascinated me was the interactive nature of this these sessions. Thank you so much. I also participated here and there, and that was quite exciting. And it also teaches us how to be conversant with the technology, with the Zoom. Some of the features we didn't know, but now it's like together we are learning, but we are also moving up with the technology, which seems to be eventually the mode of communication that we have to use. So I was quite happy with that. Then I don't know whether it's the time for us to talk about, because I know there was an issue on the registration that came up. So the issue of the registration, apart from us just knowing it, also we are also tracking. We are going to support our participants with data. And one way of us knowing that at least the data is being used, not all of it might not be all of it, but at least for the purposes of us supporting data, would be whether you have participated in these webinars. And the other one is whether you have managed, those will be our coaches and our facilitators, our facility teams, whether you have managed to also do your presentation. So we are taking this quite seriously, that we assist each other. It's something that came up, but I think that's where the whole world is going. And we are happy that at least we are managing to do this. So take your attendance to this session seriously, and also take your participation in terms of your presentations or any other tours or whatever activities that we would be given by our consultants, because that will help us to track whether we are using our data for the intended use. Thank you so much to our facilitators. This was really, really good. Thank you.
Sorry, this is Dr. Agnes from BRTI. Just to reiterate what Dr. Mchangwa has just mentioned, especially on our participation as coaches, as facilities, I think let's take this as a serious thing to do, because it's part of the CLI. And also taking up of our IHI courses, if you look at the tickets that have been taken so far, it's just less than half of the tickets that have been bought. So let's try to take these IHI courses, and BRTI has supported us with data to be able to do these courses at home. So expect this support, the data support, from BRTI, and this is supposed to be done like on a monthly basis. And please acknowledge receipt of this data through Fortunate. I think that's what I have for now. And thank you very much, Katie and Barbara, for quite a well-organized presentation. And I hope everyone learned, especially those new participants and even old ones, even those who have already taken the IHI courses. Like myself, it was like a revision, and that was really good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Agnes. So here's our poll. We can also send out SurveyMonkey's afterward. And I think as we go forward, we're really looking for a format where two or three, I mean, we really want to get everyone to share their presentations in. So we're really looking at a format where two or three people would be presenting, and then we'll have a very short didactic session. So it won't be one person talking all the time. They'll be very different going forward. So we're really looking forward to that model. And as more of us are learning about Project Echo and how those case presentations work, I'm sure we'll improve that over time. So we're looking forward to moving forward with this. And tomorrow we'll have a meeting with the PMT. So we'll have better ideas about how that moves forward. So thank you very much. Fabulous group, fabulous participation. Give yourselves a hand. Everybody give yourself a hand today. Great job, great job. Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye. Barbara. Fortunate and Barbara, I send you the participants from the chat box. Thank you.
Okay, bye everyone.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Great job, Barbara.
Thanks, Katie. Thank you.
Thanks, Katie and Barbara. So I'm just going to send you the schedule we did.
Yes,
for
please.
The presentations.
I don't remember I ever received that. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. That would be awesome. And we look forward to that tomorrow.
Okay. And as soon as we have this uploaded, we will share that with you. Barbara, I think you can actually check and you can send that link to people, actually, the recording.
Yeah.
We don't even need to upload it. Just send that and then there's a password there. So Fortunate can forward this to everyone and then give them a time frame like 2 weeks before you delete the recording so you can save room for the next one. Something like that.
I think the chat box also gets saved.
Yes, you will have that as well. Yes.
So, okay.
Have a good afternoon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks all.